Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Welcome to our Wednesday night pick-me-up service. Glad you're here. Hope everyone's had a good day in the Lord today and lost my train of thought here. Anyways, when you get up here, the air's thinner and it's hard to think. So. Anyways, welcome all those out there in Facebook land and out there in the parking lot. We're gonna sing tonight number 581. We have heard the joyful sound. Let's all stand and sing.
Everybody, good to see all of you. I've been all right. I'll put it that way. It is good to be with you tonight. Thank God for our midweek refuel and prayer time. We got our single serving Lord's Supper cups in the mail today, so praise God. Probably not this Sunday, but Lord willing, the next Sunday we'll probably be having the Lord's Supper. So we're thankful for that, looking forward to that. And we do want to tell you, if you're watching with us by Facebook or you're in the parking lot, that it's good to have you with us tonight. I'm thankful you've made the effort to come out, and I know that if you came looking for a blessing, then the Lord, through His Word and through the worship, will provide you with a blessing. We're all going to be in Proverbs chapter 23 tonight. Proverbs chapter 23. We're getting down to the short rows. We do have some study guides here if you want them. And don't forget that not only are we doing Proverbs on Wednesday nights, but on Sunday mornings we're in Nehemiah. And then on Sunday nights we're in the book of James. We're getting down to the final chapters in the book of James. So be studying. That gives you something. If you don't know what to read, there's your three different books that you can be reading in on top of the book of Psalms that and Proverbs you can read every day. So do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight before we go any further? It's hot, ain't it? Ain't you glad you ain't going to hell? amen. Well, it's 90-something out here, ain't it? Ooh, I'm a wimp anymore. I can't. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Danny. Anybody else tonight? Word of praise or testimony?
Finally got the flight put in, my dad.
Praise the Lord. Put it in the engravings. But praise the Lord. God's got his timing, though. He's
down there tomorrow.
Good. Good. Anyone else tonight? We do always want you to be mindful of the fact that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you. And if ask Jesus, and if you'll let him today, he'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. My nose has not been running today, so I pray it doesn't start now. But I apologize for Sunday night. But we do, in the way of prayer needs tonight, and praise the Lord, God has brought us, you know, another week from last Wednesday to this Wednesday. His hands of favor and of grace have been upon us, and we are thankful for that. Also, we're just thankful that he's in control as we look around at everything that's going on, burden for our country, burden for the issues over in Afghanistan. As we think of, there's fires and there's floods and all going on around us. And praise God that we can trust in him when we can't trust what we see or what we feel, even what we hear. We can always trust him and his word. We do want to remember the lost tonight. We want to remember the backslidden. We want to pray for marriages. We want to pray for those that are depressed, our nation, Lisa Estep, Betty Carter, Kathy Baldwin, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Doran, Mark Leonard's wife and mother, Daniel Mosher, Connor and Cole Begley, Donna Hess, Wilma and Don Daniels, Sister Donna Brown, Wilma and Don Daniels, Larry Tomlinson, Melanie Lester, Brenda Baker, Larry Spears, Deborah Rains, Jeanette Carter, Rick Swanson, Sister Stephanie Harvey and Serenity, Ronnie Owens, Chandra Perry, Chuck Kearney, Randy Meeks, Lorraine Davis, Brandon Johnson, Bill Leeds, Terry Beeler, Debbie Starnes, Ashley Clark, Larry Bledsoe, Sister Catherine, Gary and Brandy CC, Brian Baker and family, Margaret Williams, Sister Jessie Bull and Sister Pam Savarsky, Stanley and Sandy Williams, Brittany Grindstaff, Jason Knight, Phyllis Williams, Edsel Keck, Steve Smith, Buddy McNutt, Brenda Horton, Kevin Tigner, Sheila Percival, Heather Markham, Randy Flansler, Helen Garrett, Betty McCorkle, Susie Drawdery, Maggie Statzer, Teresa Holden, Larry Rasnick, Ray Tony, Susie Hill, Bridget Barnes, Brother Roger and Sister Virginia Edens, John Wade, Daryl Hurd, Cindy Osborne, Belinda Baker, Denny Lemon, Charlene Lofton, Mike Stapleton, C. Edmonds, Shannon Haynes, Laura, Opal and Grayson Evans, J.T. and Gladys Jones, Billy Joe and Sandra Robbins, Rhea Osborne, Justin Bowen, Wilma Jacobs, Doris Williams and family, Sister Lillian Baldwin and family, Priscilla Smith, Ethan Bowen, Paul and Thomas Stoyer, Susie Hill, Carol Carter, Vicki Littrell, Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Bradley Bowen, Daisy Richards, Nick Roten, Dakota McQueen, Sandy Knight, Daniel Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Hodge, David and Felicia Cantrell, Mr. Pippin, Sabrina and Lance Stollard, Tommy and Alma Mullins, Haley Webb, Sean and Don Garinetti, Greg Bartlett, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Lydia Jordan, Jerry Flanslers, David Starnes, Mary Snodgrass, Cecilia and Frank Pennington Sr., Jay and Ruby Keck, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten and family, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Liza Fletcher, Helen Bowen, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Miss Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBlanc, John and Carmine Shoup, And then we want to pray for Mr. Ricky Sheffield, all of our fire and first responders, and then our church members, and also the 500 shoebox this year that we're looking forward to, and praying that God give us more than just the 500, that there'll be more than that. But any other prayer needs? Kathy Smith. Anyone else? Oh. For him to go back in? Yeah. We will do it. Anyone else? Yes, yeah. Yeah. What was that last name, brother?
Lawson.
Lawson. We will. Anybody else? All right, and we do want to pray for that. We've got some traveling tonight, but also continue to remember our schools and our colleges, as our universities, as they're trying to navigate through the Delta variant or whatever that they're calling it now. But thank God that he's in control, and that's what we have to trust in, is that he's in control, and that his will, his ways may not be our ways, but it's always the right way. And that's what's awesome. I do want to remind you that the altar is open. Don't forget that this Sunday morning we'll be pinning our Awana workers, and then Awana will be kicking off the 12th of September. And but before then, there's Duffield Days, and we'll be doing worship in the field on that Sunday, the 5th at 6 o'clock. And looking forward to that, looking forward to what God's going to do, and continue to pray for revival, and pray specifically for personal revival, because before it can begin anywhere else, it has to begin in me. It has to, I'm the one that's in need of a touch. And so anything else before we go to the Lord in prayer? Be traveling. Also, the altar is always open. All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus, I come to you tonight. And God, I thank you for the privilege of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful, Heavenly, that not only do you command us to come into prayer, but Lord, you desire us to come to your presence in prayer, in thanksgiving, in worship, and Lord, in supplication. And so, God, I just declare that there is none like you. I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you do have a hold of me, and you're in control of every situation that's going on around us. Lord, whether it be the COVID and Delta issues, or Afghanistan, or marriages, or situations in school, God, you know what's going on. You've known the needs that we have before we ever came to the place of those needs. And Lord, you have gone before us, and you've worked a way for us to make it through those issues. And so, God, tonight I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to forgive me where I fail you. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that your Holy Spirit continue to not only give me the hope of eternity, but God, also the will and the desire to serve you in a proper way. God, all these needs that we've lifted up tonight, God, you know the needs. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know if it's physical, if it's emotional, if it's a marriage or a home, Heavenly Father, Lord, that the devil's trying to tear apart, God, you know the issues with our first responders and all of those, that what they go through and how they deal with it. And so, God, tonight we lay them in your hands. I ask you, Heavenly Father, Lord, to be with us tonight as we study. I pray you guard us, Lord, not only through the airwaves, but through the digital aspect of it and the computer, Lord, that most of all, most importantly, your word goes out clean and pure, and God, that you'll change lives through your word. And we give you all the praise and glory as we begin our study tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, y'all just remain seated tonight as we begin Proverbs chapter 23. And basically, there's going to be something that we've not seen in since we've been studying this. So let's go ahead and get into our Proverbs 23, beginning in verse 1. I realize that I put the wrong date on here. so you can just know I'm not perfect, okay? Beginning in verse 1, when you sit down to dine with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you have a large appetite. Do not desire their choice food, for that food is deceptive. Don't wear yourself out trying to get rich because you know better. Stop. As soon as your eyes fly to it, it disappears. It makes wings for itself and flies like an eagle to the sky. Do not eat a stingy person's bread and do not desire their choice food, for it is like someone calculating inward. Eat and drink, they say to you, but their heart is not with you. You will vomit the little you have eaten and waste your pleasant words. Do not speak to a fool, for they will despise the wisdom in your words. Do not move an ancient boundary marker. Do not encroach on the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is strong, and he will champion their cause against you. Apply yourself to discipline and listen to words of knowledge. Do not withhold discipline from a youth. If you punish them with a rod, they will not die. Punish them with a rod, and you will rescue their soul from Sheol. My child, if your heart is wise, my heart will indeed rejoice. My innermost being will celebrate when your lips say what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners. Instead, always fear the Lord, for then you will have a future. Your hope will not be dashed. Verse 19. Listen, my child, and be wise. Keep your mind on the right course. Do not associate with those who drink too much wine or those who gorge themselves on meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will become poor, and grogginess will clothe them in rags. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. But that should be by. Buy and do not sell the truth, wisdom, instructions, and understanding. The father of the righteous child will rejoice greatly, and the one who fathers a wise child will delight in them. Let your father and mother have joy. Let she who gave you birth rejoice. My child, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. For the prostitute is a deep pit, and a wayward woman is a narrow well. Indeed, she sets an ambush like a robber, increasing the number of unfaithful people. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has conflict? Who has complaints? Who has red eyes? Those who linger over wine. Those who go looking for mixed wine. Do not gaze at the wine because it is red, because it gleams in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your lips will say absurd things. You will be like one sleeping at sea or lying on the top of a ship's mast. They struck me, but I feel no pain. They beat me, but I didn't know it. When I will awake, I will look for another drink. And may God add the blessings to the reading of His Scriptures. Now, the proverb, the definition we've been working with, is a concise, to-the-point style brief statement that imparts general advice and wisdom. And while we've seen many passages where there are 2 to 3 verses that make up one proverb, for the most part, all of them up to this point have been bullet-type points. But time is limited. We're getting closer and closer to the end of the book, and space is limited, so the writer is trying to get all that he can in. And here in Proverbs 3, it's almost a flip of what we've been seeing, because instead of there being a majority of one verse Proverbs, in this one there's only 4 verses that are only one brief statement. That's verse 9, verse 12, verse 22, and verse 23. Those are the only bullet point type Proverbs in 23. The rest of them are made up, the Proverbs are made up from either 2 verses, and then you'll see the last one goes from 29 all the way to 35, making up 6 verses, making up one paragraph or one point. So let's get into it tonight, okay? The first one we see is there in verses 1 through 3. When you sit to dine with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you have a large appetite. Do not desire their choice food, for that food is deceptive. And basically the idea here is, one, if you are one that possesses a large appetite, when you get to the table, he's saying it's better to cut your throat than to show yourself a glutton in front of the individuals. Now, does that mean we're literally to cut our throat? No, I don't believe that that's what it means. But it's teaching us that there are certain places where we have to show some restraint. We have to show, the Bible refers to it, the King James refers to it as temperance. And that means having the ability to control your flesh. And the idea here is that you're eating with a ruler. He's saying, don't be given to the food, because the more you give in to the food, the more you're going to feel obligated. And we're going to see it later on, the more you'll feel obligated to the ruler or the individual that's there feeding you. And notice what he says. He says, though it might be the finest of foods, there is deceit in those foods, because when you go in there, you would think, hey, they've got a high opinion of me, or they think a lot of me, when probably the opposite is, and they're about something else other than there's an ulterior motive there. So which one would you think this is? General wisdom, leadership, or family wisdom? General wisdom. And you see, I put verse 6 because verse 6 is going to deal with the idea once again of the eating of choice foods. Okay, verses 4 and 5. It says, do not wear yourself out trying to get rich. And I thought this was neat where it says, consider carefully, he says, because you know better. Stop it. And goes on to say, as soon as your eyes fly to it, or to me, when your eyes land on what your goal is, or you see what the desire is, which is riches and money, it says, they make wings for themselves and they fly away like an eagle into the sky. And again, the idea here, is there anything wrong with riches? No, in and of themselves, no. But the idea here is that you're selling yourself out for the riches. You're setting what God's will for you. You're calling in your life. You're setting it aside because you're reaching after worldly riches. And we've talked about it, how that heavenly riches and earthly riches are completely opposite from each other. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, but those who want to be rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plague people into ruin and destruction. Listen, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. And you know, for everybody that's tried to make themselves rich, how many are there that's actually got rich compared to those that have wound up wasting time, wasting relationships, not being there for their family? Why? Because they're seeking after riches, but they can never lay their hands on it. It seems like it's just over the hill, just over the neck. If I can just get past this, then I'll be able to. So the desire, the love of money, and remember, Christ Jesus is to be number one in our life. Praise God. And you know what? He can't trust all of us to be rich, you know? Just like he can't trust all of us to have fine homes or fine cars. And all, why? Because we'll give in to those things. Amen. Well, you know, and I see it, the older I get, he can't trust all of us to be skinny. He can't. Hey, I've seen people that had a good marriage, a good home, and then they go on a diet and they get those surgeries, you know what? And then somebody starts paying them attention, and next thing you know, so see, the Lord knows he can't trust me as skinny. He made me fat so that I can serve him better. Fat and flourishing is what. But y'all seen it before, haven't you? I mean, not everybody. He made us exactly who we're supposed to be, and he knows what he can trust us with and what he can't trust us with. So here, would you say that this is general wisdom, leadership, or family wisdom? I'd go with general. I would go first with general, but I'll also lean to family if you wanted to go family there. Verse 6, through 8. Now again, this ties back with verses 1 through 3. Do not eat a stingy person's bread, and do not desire their choice food. For it is like somebody calculating inwardly, saying, eat and drink. And they say to you, but their heart is not with you, and you will vomit the little up you have eaten and waste your pleasant words. Almost, it's like somebody is feeding you and they're watching you eat and they're saying, okay, you've ate one bologna sandwich, you've ate one bag of chips, and you've drank a Coca-Cola. And in their mind, you owe them because of that. And then that's the idea. What they're doing is they're trying to butter you up. They're trying to get you in debt, that they can call you out on it and say, hey, didn't I give you this? Didn't I give you that? Well, now you've got to do this for me in return. And that's all. And that verse 8 there, the idea is that it'll make you sick. And you'll get to a point to where your gracious words, your compliments, you've wasted them because they have a different motive, not just to feed you, not just because they want you to eat their food. Remember, it's a stingy person. A stingy person is one that the only reason they're going to give you their food is to get something into return. So which one would you think that this one is? General, I would go with general. Okay, here's the first of the four bullet points. Do not speak to a fool, for they will despise the wisdom in your words. Matthew 7, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under the feet and turn again and rend you, or that they turn again, they stomp on what you see as precious, and then they turn and harm you and hurt you. Now, the idea is that, you know, that there comes a point in time where you've done all you can for an individual. You've told them, you've talked to them. It's like the one who has the anger problem. Remember, it says don't deliver them from trouble, because if you do it, then you'll have to do it all over again. And the idea here is that for fools, when you try to tell them what's right, when you try to instruct them specifically by God's wisdom, they're not going to receive it. Matter of fact, and it'll do the opposite. It'll make them angry at you. And so the best thing to do is wipe the dust off your feet, as the apostles were told, and go on. And I think that, you know, it's difficult sometimes to figure out when that is, you know. You don't want to be an enabler. You don't want to be one that allows people to use you, but you also don't want to be taken advantage of. And the Lord doesn't want us to be taken advantage of as well. So this is one where we need the person of the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom. So which one would you think that this one is?
Leadership.
You think it's leadership? Everybody agree with that? You know, now, I think it's good for leaders. I think that would be something that all leaders would know. But, But I think it goes more for that this would be blessings to everybody, you know. Yeah. All right, verses 10 through 11. And this one is coming up a lot. It's coming up in our study with Nehemiah. We'll probably start looking at the gates there in chapter 3. And one of those gates is the old gate. And notice here it says, do not remove an ancient boundary marker. Do not encroach on the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is strong and he will champion their cause. Again, we see the idea of the boundary, the markers that shows the difference between yours and theirs, that's a guideline. And the idea, the idea of trespass, when we trespass against somebody or whatever, the idea is stepping over the boundary line or stepping into something that you don't like. When we, thou don't trespass signs and all that. And so the idea here is that God will take up, and notice Redeemer is capitalized, that God will take up the cause of the fatherless. He'll take up the cause of the poor. In Jeremiah 50, verse 34, it says, "Their Redeemer is strong. Yahweh of hosts is his name. He will fervently plead their cause so that he might bring rest into the earth, but turmoil to those who live in Babylon." And praise God, not only the Bible teaches us that we're to be the poor in spirit. And Bible says that vengeance is not ours, but vengeance is the Lord. And he will repay whatever wrong that's been done against us. There's two things we have to remember. One, Jesus has already suffered the wrong on our behalf. So when someone does us wrong, we've got to be willing to take that loss. But also, we've got the promise from God that whatever wrong is done to us, he will take that up and he'll deal with it when it's time. Amen? And so, would you think that this is general leadership or family? General. Amen. The Bible talks about, I think it's in Jeremiah chapter 6, where it talks about, "Seek ye the old paths." And we'll get some more of that. But notice verse 12, it says, "Apply yourself to discipline, listen to the words of knowledge." Now, discipline, once again, is the control of self, being able to know when to say when, knowing when you've ate enough of the choice foods and cutting yourself off there. Also, the idea of knowledge here is the Word of God, taking the Word of God and applying it to your mind or to your life. Which one would you think this one is? Amen. All right, verses 13 and 14. And we've seen this many times since we've been studying Proverbs. The idea here is the discipline of a child. "Do not withhold discipline from a youth. If you punish them with a rod, they will not die." Now, I remember when I got whippings, I probably acted like I was dying when mama would get on me or when daddy would get on me. You know, you had to add a little bit of flair into it so that they wouldn't beat you much more. But notice it says, if we are willing, and the idea here is specifically of the spanking, but there's other ways to discipline as well. It does not always have to be the rod. But he says, "Punish them with the rod and you will rescue their souls from Sheol." Well, now, I believe, and I may look it up, but when discipline, and not just spankings, which were in schools, paddlings and all that, but what we're seeing is more and more that the teachers and the principal, their hands are tied when it comes to being able to punish children in school. And also, I think we're seeing it in our country that there's a generation that's been raised with no discipline. There's been no right or wrong. There's been no boundaries put in their life from mom and daddy. And so that's why we're seeing just a willy-nilly society now. Whatever you want, do it. There is no wrong. There is no right. Let little Johnny. I remember in school, when I was in school, my mom and daddy trusted my teachers. They trusted the word of my teachers. They trusted the words of my bus driver. They trusted the words of the principal. Anymore, it's like, no, little Johnny wouldn't do nothing like that. Little Johnny wouldn't lie to me. I tell you what, any youngin' will lie to you to get out of trouble. They will. Right place, right time. And but I do believe since we've seen paddlings go away, you've seen more issues within the school system. Mm-hmm. 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 Well, I mean, depending on your translation, but the idea of beating, you'd have to break it down that a beating doesn't mean putting bruises and welts on them or anything like that. There's a way to spank a child that is not a beating. You know, there's a difference between a spanking and a whipping. I mean, a spanking and a beating. You know, and it's... translation and looking at the words and all that. Yeah, I didn't look it up. But also we have to trust for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit there as well. You know, anybody that's talked to me, you never whip in anger. You never punish in anger. You always punish after you've had time to reflect and let God deal with you in that situation, and then you return to that situation. I remember... my goodness. You know what the worst thing was about a whipping? Because I used to get whippings a lot after church on Sundays. Because I got a whipping for it. Well, Daddy wouldn't whip me before he went to church on... if I was going to get a whipping because I was bad on Sunday morning, he made me wait till after church on Sunday night. And you talk about... that was worse than a whipping. Lots of times. Was it? But I think it would be... there would need to be teaching there. You know, if somebody didn't understand the difference, then I would say, hold off on whipping them. And that would be my number one thing, was whatever punishment you're going to do, don't do it in anger, you know. And I think that that would be the key point that I'd try to make, is whether it be beat or whip or whatever it would be there. But today, I don't even think you can. Youngins will call on you if you whip them now. They'll call the law. They know who to call. They know what to do. All right, which one would you think this one was? Family, good deal. All right, verses 15 and 16. And here it's, I'm not going to give you the answer, but my child, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. My innermost being will celebrate when your lips say the right thing. So who do you think is speaking here? Maybe not the specific name, but what role? A parent, mother or father. Exactly. So you have a mother, a parent is saying, if you give yourself to wisdom, if you as my child seek to be a wise child, then guess what? It's going to bring me joy. And not just one time, but rejoicing, a continual of knowing. And notice something else. He says that my inner being, meaning that who he truly is, he says that let your lips say the right thing. And see, that would be one there. Well, anybody can say the right thing, but are they living the right way? But the idea is that I have instilled in you the right ways, the right words, and if you take that and apply it to your life, then you're going to have a proud parent, a happy parent. So, which one would you think this one is? Family. Amen. Now, this next one, I think that lots of times we would consider that someone young, that they might be envious of wrongdoers and all that. But I think it's something that you have to deal with almost your whole life when you look at it. He says, do not let your heart envy sinners. Instead, fear the Lord, for then you will have a future and your hope will not be dashed. Now, when we look at it and we look around and we do see that there's a lot of wicked people that have a lot of money, right? A lot of perverts, a lot of drug addicts, all those. Look at Hollywood and all that. But for every one of them that has money, there are numerous more that have fallen into hardship. You know that? That have been... how many young girl has went to Hollywood and tried to make it and ended up on drugs and working as a prostitute and all that? Yep. You see, how many has tried to become famous on the internet and their 15 minutes of fame and all that mess? You see, for every one that there is that we could envy, there's bukus more that we should understand that that's not the rule. When you do evil, usually 90% of the time, you're going to fall into ruin. Like he says right here, that your future or your hope will be dashed. So we see here in verse 37 of Psalms, it says, do not be agitated by evildoers. Do not envy those who do wrong. Notice he says, instead, always fear the Lord. And remember the idea of fear. Yes, we should be in terror because we are as dust under his fingernails. But also, we should stand in awe of who he is. I was listening to it yesterday that we have ruined the word awesome. The word awesome should be not a new car is not awesome or this and that's awesome. God is awesome, meaning that when we look at him, we are to stand in amazement and in awe. So which one would you think this is? General. I would go with general there. See, we go by quicker when all these verses is clumped up together. Verses 19 to 21. Listen, my child, and be wise. Keep your mind on the right course. Do not associate with those who drink too much wine or those who gorge themselves on meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will become poor, and grogginess, I think the King James says drowsiness, will clothe them in rags. So the idea here is that don't get with the wrong crowd, specifically those that are tied or addicted to alcohol and drugs. Notice it says that, and again, the drunkard and the glutton. And what we see, the idea of gluttony is not only about the physical appetite, not just wanting food. You know, we can be gluttons on self-satisfaction to where all we want all the time is what makes me feel good, what flicks my beak, what makes me happy. That is a gluttonous type fleshliness, that it may not be food, but you're putting on you like new shoes, so every day you go out and you buy you a new pair of shoes to the point that you don't have money in the bank because you're about that. You have a gluttony over new shoes or rifles or whatever it might be. But the idea here is that we are that the grogginess that it'll close them in rags. So, and again, we do see some people that are drug addicts and spend money and all that, and they just go about their way. But most people that are addicted to drugs, alcohol, or some type of illicit way of life, usually it brings them to a place of poverty. And the idea of grogginess is that they just don't really see things the way it is. You know how it is when you get up in the morning, or you get up in the middle of the night, and you just half awake, half asleep. That's the picture here, that it will clothe them in rags. Any other thoughts on this? Is this?
I'll tell you what, it's the truth.
Oh, it is. It is. General, leadership, or family?
General.
I'll go with general. It could also be family. My child. Verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. All right, somebody tell me what the idea here is. Exactly. For the most part, yeah. And for the most part, the individuals that are going to want the best for you out of everybody in this world will be your parents, will be your mother and your father. And see, and if nothing else that we can instill in our children is that of anybody else, we want what's best for you. That is our desire for you. And though you may not understand some of the ways right now, and though you may not understand some of the rules that we have, it is for your betterment. It's for your good. And remember in chapter 1, if you remember, it was Solomon. That was his cry to his children. Listen to what I tell you. Listen to your mama, what we're instilling into you. So which one would you think this is?
Family.
All right, here's the last of the bullet points. Buy and do not sell truth wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Over and over and over again in the book of Proverbs, we're told that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is better than the finest jewelry. It's better than the purest gold. It's better than the most expensive silver. And again, we see the mentality of heaven versus the mentality of the earthly. Whereas in this world, if we were asked, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a thing of encyclopedias, or would you rather have $500? Which one would we have? Give me the $500, I'll buy my own encyclopedias, right? But the idea is that heavenly wisdom, it cannot be priced. It's priceless. It has no value to it. And so the idea here is that true wisdom is something that we need to seek after, grab hold of it, and then don't let go of it. Whatever it needs for us to have that wisdom, instruction, and understanding. So which one would you think it is?
General.
Amen. All right. Verse 25. And again, we're dealing with this. This one's going to be family, but it's clear. It says, the father of a righteous child will rejoice greatly. Meaning that the father who has a child who does what's right in the eyes of the Lord, then that father will have reason to rejoice. And the one who fathers a wise child will delight in them. Meaning that when they see, they'll have joy. They'll bring their parents joy as they live their life. Let your father and your mother have joy. Let she who gave you birth rejoice. And again, the idea is having children, raising up your children in a way that is righteous, in the right ways, and that not only will they bring the heavenly father joy and honor, but it does the same to your earthly parents. Which one you think this is?
Family.
Good deal. All right. Now, you remember there was one whole chapter that dealt with the whorish woman. There here in verses 26 through 28, it seems like Solomon is just kindly putting a little bit of, don't forget now, I know I've told you about this, but remember, my child, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my way. I think that this is kindly neat with the celibacy promise, the purity promise that some of our youth have made to their parents and to their guardians, that they'll stay pure until they get married. Notice he says, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my way. For the prostitute is a deep pit, and the wayward woman is a narrow well. Indeed, she sets at ambush like a robber, and increasing the number of unfaithful beings. Remember, over in Proverbs 6:25, it says, "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for a precious life." And it doesn't have to just be a woman. I mean, the same is true for a whorish man as well. So, which one you think this is? I lean to family there. It's good general wisdom overall. But I believe it's family. Okay, verses 29 through 35. Who has woe? Who has sorrows? I mean, we've all heard of crying in your beer, right? Then we have who has conflicts? Who has complaints? Who has red eyes? My goodness. I'd say most fights happen because somebody's inebriated. It says, those who linger over wine, or those who tarry too long at the bar stool. Those who go looking for mixed wine. And the idea here is that mixed wine is not just one that's been fermented, but it's been spiced up, added a little bit, almost the picture of a mixed drink. You know, it's more of the idea of a strong spirit and just the idea of a low alcoholic type drink. It says in verse 31, do not gaze at the wine when it is red, because it gleams in the cup and it goes down smoothly. Basically, he's saying, yeah, it might look pretty and it might taste good and it might go down well, but in the end, it bites like a snake and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things. Not only that, but you will say absurd things. Anybody ever listen to somebody that was drunk? It'd get annoying, won't it? It'd get annoying. Boy, they love you to death, though, don't they? Oh, I love you. What? Huh? Yeah. Crying drunk. You will be like one sleeping at sea. Or one that's lying on top of a mast. I guess that's the idea when you try to lay your head down and you're drunk. You just get that old sicky, spinny feeling. Yeah. But notice what he says. They struck me, but I feel no pain. They beat me, but I didn't know it. When will I wake up? I will look for another drink. And clearly what we're seeing here is the idea of someone that is addicted to alcohol. They are the drunkard. Isaiah 5:11 says, "Woe to those who rise early in the morning in pursuit of beer, who linger into the evening inflamed by wine." When I did construction, some of the most craftiest men, I mean, they had some great abilities. They were able to do great things with wood. Some of them were just amazing at what they could do with sheetrock and the way that they would do the sheetrock and different things like that. But a lot of them wanted to be paid on a daily basis, hourly, for what they've done. And the reason is because they had a drinking problem. And when they were on the job, they did a great job. They did a great craft. But sometimes you may not see them for a day or two because of the alcohol. And how many homes have been destroyed to addiction and different things like that? And so we're just mindful that not many people have made much of themselves being addicted to alcohol and drugs. And remember, the warning was previous to that stay away from those who tarry long at it. So, all right, any thoughts before we close out? No, I believe that the precept of that is the precept of that, because like I said, we're going to see it more and more. And that's what I want I wanted our verse for the new year to be, to seek the old paths or don't move the boundary lines. I believe the idea that's being taught there, one for Israel, is that God had specifically gave them land and they were to live inside of that, you know, boundary. In the same picture, at the same time, God had given them instructions. And those were a boundary that they were to live in. But what happened when they stopped living within the boundary of the truth of God, the instructions of God, then they no longer were able to take care of the physical boundary. They lost the physical boundary there. Now, moving it over into the New Testament, or to the New Covenant, we know that God does not change, and neither does His truth or His boundary lines. You know what I mean? And those things don't move. And I wanted our verse to be Jeremiah 16, where it says, "Seek ye the old path," or the old boundaries. And I think that the markers that which, like we see, well, just like on our land, you know, you'd have the pink ribbon tied off on your landline where it is. The good thing and what we're to do is work within those, our lines, and the truth of God is our boundaries, and that we're to live within them. So what do we see in America? We've lost those boundary lines. Those boundary lines have been wiped away. Literally, they're taking the Ten Commandments off the walls. They're taking the Bible, anything to do with the Bible, out of the public square. And so we're losing the boundary lines that made us a godly nation. And so I believe more to the spiritualizing of it than the physical of it, you know, which, you know, back then they might have been, you know, trying to, when we think about Nehemiah and all that's there, see all the land that had been given to the 12 tribes. No longer did it matter anymore because they were under somebody else's rule, and they weren't following those boundary lines of the Benjaminites and all that. So I would lean more to now it being spiritual than the physical. And you don't have to agree with me. Anyone else? All righty. God bless you, and let's go to the Lord of prayer. In prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been good to be in your house tonight. And God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for the just discussion that you've allowed us to have tonight. And God, as we get ready to go our ways, Lord, you know what's coming up tonight. You know what's coming up in the morning, so, and the rest of this week. And so, God, just give us the strength and the wisdom to move through it like your child. And in all things, let your name be praised. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.